to become negative, and when we are tempted to just throw up our hands and give up. And yet, that just must not be. In the long ago, 12 men of the same race, of the same country, of the same language, of the same religion, were sent to survey a new land. All had surveyed the topography, all had surveyed the people, all had surveyed the new land. But of the 12 men, 10 said, "We just cannot take the land. It's impossible to do it. It can't be done." But 2 said, "Oh yes, it can be done." Now here we have an example of a dreadful failure of 10 people. They never got to cross Jordan and see the promised land. And we have an example of 2 who had a glorious and wonderful success. They lived to cross Jordan and see the promised land. All surveying the same land, all the same opportunity, 10 miserable failures and 2 glorious successes. How do you explain that? Well, it happened 35 centuries ago. And yet the lesson it proclaims is as needed and up to date today as it was 3,500 years ago. The explanation is that attitudes determine destiny. 10 weaklings whimpered, "We cannot." And 2 men shouted, "We can." And 2 men succeeded. And 10 failed miserably. One ship goes east, the poet has said. Another goes west by the selfsame wind that blows. 'Tis the set of the gale. 'Tis the set of the sail, and not the gale, that determines the way they go. Like the winds of the sea are the waves of fate as we voyage along through life. 'Tis the set of the soul that determines the goal, and not the calm or the strife. How true. This morning as we discuss Never Give Up, I want us to ask 5 questions and answer them. Has some door been closed which you ardently wish to enter? Then, my brother, my sister, if that be the case, trust God, but don't give up. Sometimes we have great plans. We have everything figured out, but it just doesn't work out that way. And the door that we had hoped to enter is closed. We are frustrated. We are upset. And sometimes we're just willing to throw up our hands and quit. Has God closed the door? Has some door been closed you plan to go through? Then don't give up. One of my professors, David Lipscomb, years ago, told a telling story of a young woman whose life's goal was to travel. And traveling is exciting. We hope in a few days to walk again amid the pyramids, to ride the camels, to see the Nile River, to see the ruins of the palace of old Ramesses II. I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting to travel in foreign lands, and particularly in places that are so historically and biblically significant. Well, this girl, all of her life, this young lady had planned to travel and go to faraway places, and she wanted to explore some places in the planet that people had never been. And just as financially and all, she was prepared to launch out. She was involved in a tragic accident and had a spinal injury and was confined to her house for the rest of her life. But her attitude was marvelous. she wouldn't give up. She took the money and bought two things. She bought a microscope and put it on the first floor and studied the marvelous world of little things. And then she bought a telescope and put in her attic and made a life study of astronomy, studying the stars and studying the galaxy, studying the wonderful things that God has made in the universe. And though she couldn't get out of the house, she didn't give up. What a wonderful lesson for us. Is defeat the last word in your vocabulary today? Then erase it. And do not have and do not accept the word defeat in your vocabulary at all. Instead, write the word victory. And if you lose heart, remember, the Bible says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's in the book of Proverbs by the wise man Solomon. Don't give up. It is said that Robert Bruce saw a spider fall six times and then on the seventh try made it. And he took a lesson from that humble animal and went on to a great victory. Never give up. Thirdly, do you fold up when failure lays its heavy hand upon your shoulder? Not many of us are going to get through life without some crushing failures. I'm told that James Buchanan, as a young man, lost an oratorical contest in college, and he was so shook up and so disappointed that he decided to quit school and wrote his father that he was tired of school, he had lost the contest for which he had labored so long, and he was going to just leave school. I can relate to that because I entered every speech contest from the time I was in the almost fourth or fifth grade. And I tell you, it's crushing when you're young and you work and you study and you prepare and then you come to the finals and you're beaten. But James Buchanan's father wrote him a letter, and he told him that the chastisement of failure could become the driving force for his success. He said, don't let it get you down. Let that just encourage you to greater heights. And later, when James became president of the United States of America, he attributed his failure to win that contest in college that almost caused him to quit school as one of the mightiest agencies in his life that lifted him to the presidency of the greatest country in the world. Abraham Lincoln had a failure and lost the local election in Illinois. It could have crushed him. The next election brought him to the White House, and he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and maybe more than anybody else, helped to save the nation. I wondered what would have happened if Joseph had given up when he had a failure. When they sold him as a slave, he'd say, look, you can't even trust your own blood brothers. My own blood brothers have sold me into slavery. How dastardly and how terrible. They so envied me. And what did I do? I obeyed my father. I always was respectful. And what did it get me? I don't deserve this. Looks like it just doesn't pay to try to do anything right. You obey your father, you live right, you do what you're told, you try to be good to your brothers, and they turn on you and sell you like they would sell a dog. Why try? But not Joseph. Took more than one failure to shake him. Another great failure, after doing the best he could in Egypt land, he was sold, he was put in prison because he refused to sell his soul for sin. But he didn't give up. And in prison, you know what happened to him? He was forgotten by those he befriended. But he didn't give up. Do you fold when failure lays its heavy hand on your shoulder? Never give up. Fourthly, again, how would you react to the loss of health? I think this might be the most crushing blow to many of us. Years ago, an author was writing how we must never give up. When health is gone, we must remain cheerful. And somebody wrote him and said, "It's easy for you to say it, but if you had my health problems, it would be a different thing." And the person that wrote that reply didn't know that the author himself had a severe health problem. And every time he punched a key on his typewriter, he suffered severe physical pain. I think Job is the great biblical example to encourage us. When health is lost, you know what the Lord said to the devil? "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." The devil said, "Well, of course. My, look at him. He's got everything in the world. Had a wonderful family, healthy children, prosperous. And who wouldn't trust you when he had everything in the world? Take that away from him and see what happens." And the Lord said, "All right, I'll permit you to do it, except this. You cannot kill him. But anything short of taking his life." And then Job began to suffer a tragic blow one after another. Lost his family. Lost his wealth. Lost, finally, his health. But Job did not give up. "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when his own wife turned against him and his friends and said, "Curse God and die," even when they forsook him, he didn't give up. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Fifthly, how do you react to grueling temptations? When the devil throws those temptations at you so tremendously strong, are you tempted to give up and say, "Oh, well, it's just too much. I can't make it anyway"? You know, they test our souls. And James tells us to be happy. Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation. The word temptation has a twofold meaning: to try our faith and seduction to sin. God tries our faith. He has nothing to do with seduction to sin. When your faith is tried, count it all joy. That builds patience and builds character. It's like that little grain of sand that gets in that oyster. And first thing you know, as the time goes on, it becomes a pearl. And so when our faith is tested and we overcome, we are building character. Don't give up. This week we were at the Mid-America Evangelistic Workshop in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm very proud of the Churches of Christ in Indianapolis. I don't know of any city in America where the church has made more progress the last 10 years than it's made in Indianapolis. For many years, there wasn't any two congregations up there that would cooperate in anything. And sometimes I wondered if there's any, maybe two people. But that day is gone. About 12 or 15 cooperate in the presentation of our Amazing Grace Bible class every Sunday. And they had rented these congregations. One congregation sponsored it. Dozens of others cooperated. And they had rented the downtown Civic Center for this workshop. And we filmed the Amazing Grace Bible class there this week. They were beautiful people, and we enjoyed it very much. But one thing happened I'm sharing with you on this point that I'll never forget. I was staying in the Holiday Inn, and I was going to teach my last class before coming back to Madison, and I had a couple of bags, and a handsome young man there, about 6'3", looked to be about 25 years old, just the picture of health, had a Bible under his arm. Handsome black young man. And he said, "Are you going to the workshop?" I said, "I sure am." He said, "Well, I'm going too." He said, "You show me where it is and I'll help you carry your bags." I said, "Fine." And I asked him where he went to church. He said, "Stony Island in Chicago." I said, "You know Ernie and Mary Taylor?" He said, "No, I've just been there 2 weeks." And said, I haven't heard about them. We walked along and I said, "How long you been Christian?" He said, "Just 3 years. But," said, "I'm growing." And I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm an electrician on construction." Very articulate, intelligent man. He said, "I'd really like to be in electronics, but the pay is so low." And said, "By being in construction, electrician, I make a good salary and I have time to work for the church and study the Bible." I said, "I'm proud of you. It's the greatest life in the world. It may not be for the moment, but for the overall and the long run, there isn't anything like the Christian life. The Bible teaches there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it's so short-lived. And the joy we have as Christians just grows like a mighty river, deeper and sweeter and finer." He said, "I agree." And he said, "I'm living the Christian life." And he said, "I've learned to handle temptation." He said, "You know how I handle temptation. What's helped me more than anything else?" I said, "No, tell me." He said, "The thing that's helped me more than anything else is to remember who I represent." He said, "When I remember that I am a Christian and I'm representing Jesus Christ," he said, "that is the most powerful thing I have ever found to help me overcome temptation." And you know, I thought about that on the way home. I think that young man who was converted in Indianapolis and moved to Chicago, I think he's found the answer. And I say to you today, don't give up when there's grueling temptation. Remember, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember who you are and who you represent, it'll be a driving force. Jesus overcame temptation. The Apostle Peter yielded to temptation, but he repented and he overcame. He did not give up. And our message today is a message that an old-timer years ago gave in one sentence when he was asked to deliver a commencement address. He had on a split-tail coat and a high hat. And he came to the platform and he took off the hat and he looked the graduates in the eye. And he started off low and said, "Never." Then he said, "Never." And then the third word he said was, "Never give up." Put his hat on and sat back down. I'm not too sure, but that's the greatest graduating address I ever read. And our message today to you and to me of the Holy Bible is never, never give up. Let's stand together and everybody sing.